And the rest of us are going to continue our study in the days of Elijah. We've been looking over the past few weeks at King Ahab and saw that King Ahab was an evil king and that there were these evil times in which the prophet Elijah was risen up. And this is sort of a call to us as we look at our life that we are in the evil times and evil days, and yet God has raised us up to be servants in this time, to bring light in the midst of these darkness days. And we come to the place where we have looked last week at Elijah being taken care of. We saw that he had great faith, and we looked at a widow who also had great faith. And as they exercised their faith, we saw that God moved in a powerful and mighty way. Well, today we're going to look at a minor character that sort of sets up the great event that we probably know mostly about Elijah, and that's in Mount Carmel. But today I want us to focus on a man named Obadiah and to look at sometimes our lives of being looked at that we're just ordinary, and God can do extraordinary things through us. So if you will, join me as we look at 1 Kings, and we begin in chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. And Ahab had called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For so it was so, while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and had fed them with bread and water. And Ahab had said to Obadiah, "Go into the land, to all the springs of water and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so that we will not have to kill any livestock." So they divided the land between themselves to explore. And Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him. And he recognized him, and he fell on his face, and he said, "Is that you, my lord Elijah?" And he answered him and said, "It is I. Go tell your master, Elijah is here." So he said, "How have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you." And when they said, "He is not here," he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. And now you say, "Go tell your master, Elijah is here." And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from you, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place I do not know. So when I go and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not reported to my lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them bread and water? And now you say, 'Go tell your master, Elijah is here.' He will kill me." Then Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Then it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" And he answered and said, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baal. Now, therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, and 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table." Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word today, and I pray, Lord, that you would Lord, move in a mighty way among your people. Lord, that we would be willing to just be ordinary people who will simply obey in faith and trust that you will do great things through it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple went on a mission trip and caught a vision and a heart for the people. They bought some land, placed some housing units on it, and now there's mission teams that come to their place, and there's pastor trainings and mission teams going out doing medical missions and children's ministry and evangelism. There was an elderly woman who loved to dance. So she went to the recreation center and she would boogie there with the older people and invite them to church. And many of those people through the years came to church and came to know Jesus as their Savior. A student caught a passion to reach their school for Jesus. The student started to invite fellow students to Youth for Christ events, the youth group, share the gospel with them. And today, there's young men and women who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of their faithfulness. These are not super saints that are recorded in the Bible. These are just simply ordinary people from our church who just simply went and obeyed God, and God did amazing things through them. Many of us today feel like, I'm just plain. I'm just ordinary. There's really nothing supernatural and super spiritual and super great about me. I'm just sort of here. And the amazing thing is that is who God can use the most to accomplish great things for His kingdom. And today I want us to look at this simple man, Obadiah, and how God used him, and how God can use you and me, how God can use Grace Baptist Church, just an ordinary church, to accomplish extraordinary things. The first thing I want you to see is Obadiah had placed on him a specific calling. Notice what it says in verses 1 through 3, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth.'" We see here that Ahab was upset that Elijah had told him that it was not going to rain, and now it's been 3 years. And the famine has become severe, the drought has become severe. But now God has told Elijah that the drought is going to end. And that's important as we think about these things. Remember over the next few weeks that it is God who has told Elijah, listen, the drought is now going to end. And so he says, listen, I want you to go confront Ahab and tell him. And so we see here that he comes and he goes back down to Samaria. And we see here that he is going to go and approach Obadiah. I want you to look at the map again. We've been looking at this map each week. And as you look at the map, we can see where the 1 and 2 is where, that's where Elijah started. If you remember, he was from Tishba and he moved all the way back to Samaria, told Ahab the drought was coming, and then he went back to a brook. And if you remember, he was taken care of by ravens that came and brought him food, and there was water at the brook, and eventually it dried up. And then you can see that he went all the way to Zarephath. We looked and studied that last week. Zarephath was perhaps the most evil of places that you could go. It was the place where Baal was worshipped. And here he is in the heart of this place, and he stays there quite a time. And now God has told him, Elijah, it's time for you to move and go see Ahab. And so you can see the number 4 up there, and he's going to come back down to Jezreel and meet Ahab. Now, how did Elijah, again, know when to go, when to stay, and what to do? Again, the most important thing, if you ever get anything that I preach, it's about a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. It's that day in, day out walk with Him. When we hear from God and we know what we're supposed to do. And so we see that he comes and he's going to approach a man named Obadiah. And I want you to see that Obadiah had this specific calling. And first of all, we see that his calling was important. It was important because he was a servant to the king. He was in charge of the king's house. The king trusted him to take care of the affairs of all his estate. He trusted him with any kids. He trusted him with his servants. He trusted him with his money. And so he had a very important job. In this midst of evil, God had raised a good man to be able to be steward over the king's house. It reminds you a lot of probably like Daniel, or we see in the book of Esther, how Esther was raised up at a certain time. And here's Obadiah, and he was at an important position. But the next thing I want you to see, it was also a difficult position. It was difficult because he was not just the servant of a king, he was a servant to an evil king. If you remember when we were studying Ahab, we looked at all these evil kings, and then at the end it said Ahab was more evil than any of them. And here's Ahab, this evil, wicked, vile man, and he is now to serve this king. And you know, some of us find ourselves in that place. We are the servant to an evil boss. You're servant to an evil company and the ways that they do things. We're servant to an evil world. And man, it's difficult to be able to walk with God and then to also be able to live in an evil world. But you know what? Obadiah was able to do it without compromise. Even though it was hard, even though it was difficult, he was able to serve one of the most wicked and vile people while also honoring the Lord. How many of you know that we have the same calling in our life? We're placed in evil situations sometimes. And it's not easy. And when we go to work, they don't do things like Jesus all the time, do they? You work for the government, or you work for a certain company, or you work somewhere where it's just not done the right way. And it's difficult, and yet God has us in the middle of that. Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 17. We looked at these verses this morning during our prayer time, and it says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm just ready. Jesus, take me home and away from all this evil. And God says, listen, I'm not going to take you out of the world. I have you in this world because I have you at a strategic place for an intended purpose. And I'm so thankful for those teachers that are in our school system that are Christians. There's so many that are trying to run away from the public school system. And then we go, oh my goodness, look how wicked it is. Well, of course it is. We're not going in there being light. Praise God that there are teachers who go there and say, listen, it's hard. The standards are hard. The curriculum is just crazy. But praise God that there are Christians who are there, who have to walk that line just like Obadiah, to serve an evil king, but still honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Some of us are in that type of work environment. And there's all these pressures to do things unethically and to cheat and to steal and to be corrupt. And God has called us to be in that place where no, we will not compromise. We will do things the way that God has called us to do them. Because we're to honor the Lord above anybody else. And this is where Obadiah was. He had a specific calling. Some of you today are placed in a very difficult situation, but God's got you there for a purpose. And I want you to look and embrace that purpose today and say, God, I believe that you will use me where you have put me. Secondly, I want you to see Obadiah demonstrated genuine faith. It's important that we also make sure that we demonstrate true faith. You know, that's how we're saved, isn't it? You know, as Pastor Leo was talking about, there's many who believe that we get to heaven by the good that we do. And if my good outweighs my bad, I'm going to make it. Well, folks, that's not how we get to heaven. It's simply that we understand that we have all done wrong. We have all sinned. We have all done evil. And we understand the only way we get to heaven is that Jesus died on the cross and he paid our sin in full and he rose 3 days later and he says, listen, here is a free gift. And if you will just simply believe in me and you will receive the gift, you will have eternal life. And there's so many that go, no, I gotta pay for it. Let me tell you, you can't pay for it. The only ones who will be in heaven are the ones who have come by faith, who have simply believed. And we see that Obadiah was a man who had great faith. First thing I want you to see is that he had great character. Notice in verse 3 it says, now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. That word fear means to have reverence, to be a worshiper. Here he was, one who was there in the middle of all this evil, all this Baal worship, and yet he continued to worship the Lord. Imagine how difficult it was for Obadiah every day to be put around knowing all these evils were taking place, hearing about all the evil that Ahab and Jezebel had planned, and yet he was there to continue to worship the Lord. He knew that he had to fear God and to revere him and to love him. And his character revealed that he was a man who feared the Lord above everything else in the most difficult of times. Heard someone say sometimes, you know, you sort of find out what character is like a toothpaste container. When you take toothpaste and you put pressure on it, you find out what's really in there. And you know, the reality is that when you're squeezed in the heart of and troubling times of life, what comes out? Do you have genuine faith? Do you have character? Or do you change when times get tough? Here was a man who was ordinary, but believed that God could use him. Secondly, we see he was a man of action. Notice in verse 4, it says, for so it was while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord. Here's Ahab's wife, and she just finds joy in going and killing the prophets. And so Obadiah hears about it, and he's strategically placed, and he goes and he risks his life, and he goes and he hides 100 prophets, and he puts 50 in one cave, 50 in another, and then he makes sure that they're taken care of. He doesn't just say that he believes. You can look at his life, and you can say he believes. His faith led to action. Let me tell you something. Faith is an action word. Somehow in American Christianity, we think that faith means, well, I have a belief that really doesn't change who I am. And everybody you see in the Bible that believed in Jesus, they were made different. Why? Because they honestly believed. And whatever you believe causes you to act a different way. This is why when James says faith without works is dead, he's not saying we get to heaven by works. He's just saying, listen, if your faith is not working, if it's not leading to action, you don't have genuine faith. And here was Obadiah, and you could see that his faith was in action. He decided, you know what? I have only one life to live, and I'm going to make it count. Folks, I don't know about you, but man, when I stand and I see Jesus, I want to make sure That when I look at him, I can say, God, we did everything that we could to reach as many people as possible to hear about Jesus and to grow in him. So many of us are consumed about how big our 401k is and what type of house we're going to have and where are we going to go on vacation. And folks, that's not what life is about. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. So my question to you today is, what action are you taking to live for the eternal? If people were to follow you, would they say, you know, that person is all about Jesus? That person is all about the gospel. Or would they say, man, you know what? This person is about the world. You see, genuine faith is going to lead to action. The third thing I want you to see is that Obadiah was a servant. Notice in verses 5 and 6 it says, and Ahab said to him, to Obadiah, you go this way and I'm going to go this way. We've got to go find some water. We have our livestock dying. The drought is getting bad. And here's Obadiah and he's like, yes, sir. And I tell you, man, it's got to be really, really hard, as we've talked about, for Obadiah to be able to serve this wicked king. But this is where he's placed. And sometimes we just want to run away from a difficult situation and we just need to embrace, God has got me here for the intended purpose. And I need to embrace what his purpose is at this time. And here he is, and he is called to do good in the midst of difficulty. Isn't that what Daniel was called to do? When he was second to the king, Nehemiah, the same situation, Joseph with Pharaoh. Let me tell you, it's possible to be able to have an evil boss and still be able to serve Jesus. It's still possible to be able to love the most wicked and serve the most wicked when the power of Jesus is working through you. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's possible. How is it possible? It's only possible when God's able to do it through us. Notice what 1 Corinthians 10 says. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Even when you're surrounded with all this evil and all this wickedness, it's possible for you to be able to still honor God and not put yourself and do the evil. How does that happen? Again, through a walk with the Holy Spirit. Where we're able to be a servant to others and still be able to minister and love the Lord. In fact, it's fascinating when we look at John chapter 15, verse 5, what Jesus says about us being servants to God. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You see, isn't it awesome that God doesn't look at us as servants, but he looks at us as friends? That while we serve God, we have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we come to our God in heaven and we say, Father, Daddy. And he says, listen, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. And I appreciate that you are willing to stay in this difficult situation and you're willing to serve even the most difficult and hard people. Some of those that are the toughest to love, that's when the gospel shows the most. You know, that's what the early church had to do. When they were being persecuted, when they were being killed, they still had to love those who were killing them. When Jesus was on the cross, what did he say? Wipe them out and smote them? No, he says what? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Anybody can love somebody who loves them. The evidence that you are a Christian is that you're able to love people that you really don't like. That you're able to serve people that you really don't like. And here's Obadiah, and he's able to serve this evil, wicked king and still remain true to the King of Kings. Then we come and we see that he is commissioned. Notice in verses 7 and 8 that he comes upon Elijah, and Elijah comes to him and he says, listen. He sees Elijah and he falls down and he says, Elijah, you're alive. You're here. This is awesome. What a neat experience. Man, have you ever met your hero? This must have been like Obadiah. He's heard of Elijah. He's known him. And then he gets to see him again. He's like, wow, there's Elijah. This is cool. And then Elijah says, man, I've got something I need you to do for me. I need you to go tell King Ahab I need to see him. And Obadiah's like, wait, Elijah, maybe you're a little bit misinformed. You don't know, but they're like looking after you to kill you, dude. I mean, you came and you said that God was going to cause it to not rain, but they don't really believe in God. So they attribute that to you yourself. And they believe if they kill you, it'll start raining again. So they're coming to you. In fact, they've been looking for you. And man, I love God's sense of humor. Where's Elijah been? In the most wicked place, at the home of Baal. That's where he was hiding out. Isn't that awesome to think about? That God can take care of us no matter where we are. And he comes and he says, listen, I just need you to do this simple thing for me. Go set up a meeting with the king. Many times we think simple things are just not that important. I just need you to be a Sunday school teacher for the children. I just need you to help with Wednesday night dinner. I just need you to be able to be a greeter at church. Simple things. But not everybody will do them. Not everybody's called, but we need to be people who are willing to say, God, I'm willing to do the simple things. I think about in that simple Sunday school class to the children. And maybe, we don't know, maybe the next Billy Graham will come from that class. But when we're not faithful, we miss out. We need help in the kitchen. Oh, I can't do that. It's beneath me. Anybody can do it, but not me. And so then eventually we have to come and say, okay, well, we can't do Wednesday night dinners. And then it eventually closes Bible study and children's ministry and youth ministry. And you go, that'll never happen. There's hundreds and thousands of churches today that's where that's happened. Oh, anybody can greet. Everybody else will step up and do it. You don't need me. It's not that big of a deal anyway, just to stand there and say hey to somebody. I can tell you this, I've been on hundreds of visits. And I will tell you that the first thing that people talk about when I go on a visit is either, man, our church was really friendly and people greeted me, or nobody spoke to me and I don't want to come back. And that might be somebody's eternal destiny at stake, whether they'll ever come back, whether they felt that they were welcomed or not. Simple things, if we will just be obedient, God will do other great things through it. All I need you to do is go to your king and tell him, I need a meeting with him. Simple things. I'm grateful today that we had our drummer here today. Weren't you blessed by somebody simply using their talent to play drums? Weren't you blessed to have a bass guitar and an electric guitar? People who are just willing to come alongside and play with Adam. People who are just willing to use their gifts and say yes. Doesn't it make a difference? Imagine youth ministry if we didn't have any other volunteers. Just shrivel up. Imagine what happens when we try to do outreaches and only a few will come and participate. You see, when we're willing to say, you know what, I'm willing to use and step out and I'm willing to make a difference. I'm willing to follow what God has simply asked me to do. I'm willing to use my time and talent and treasure for God's good. Great things can take place. But the third thing I want you to see is Obadiah is like us too, and there was hesitation for the assignment. Obadiah didn't just say, woohoo, thank you, Elijah. I'm so excited that you've called to use me. Elijah's like us. He's real. Let me tell you something. When God asks you to do something, how many of you know you can't put these two words together? No, Lord. You can't say, no, Lord. If he's Lord, then the only thing you can say is what? Yes, if he is what? Your Lord, then the only response can be yes. But Obadiah was sort of having a little moment here. And we see that he had sort of like three excuses that he uses, and sometimes we use these things. Well, look at the first thing he says. Number one, I don't want to do this. I just don't want to do it. And you know, look, Elijah, what have you done? I mean, have I sinned against you somehow? Why are you picking on me, Elijah? Go get somebody else. Why are you coming to me? I think Leanne and Cindy must feel like Elijah a lot. They come and they ask, would you be willing to be with the most precious asset that we have, our children, and serve? No, I don't want to do that! Folks, it's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about God's church. It is God asking. And so we need to be willing to be stretched. We need to be willing to simply do simple things for the kingdom of God. Even if you don't want to do it. Sometimes we just need to do it. Second, we see that he was full of fear. Obadiah was literally scared to death. Now, most of us aren't scared to death at an assignment we're given by the church. But I'll say that we're scared of rejection or maybe embarrassment or inadequacies. And we just allow that fear to overcome us and rule our life. And we never step out and do anything. And folks, I don't waste your life. It is precious. You have very limited time on this earth. Why will you allow fear to rule you and not faith? We need to step out and use what God has given us and trust that God will do great things even though we're just ordinary. That as we put it into practice, God will do things. And many times we allow fear to hold us back. God can take care of you no matter where you are. Even when it doesn't go the way that you think it will. Look in Acts chapter 7. Here's God using a man named Stephen. And it says, but he being full of the Holy Spirit gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. This is after Stephen just preached a sermon saying, this is the way that you get to heaven. It's not through your good works. It's through faith in Christ. And the Jews didn't want to receive that. And so they're about to kill him. And here he is facing death. And it says in verse 56, look, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Even if you do face death, how many know God's going to be there? And I mean, when God's presence is there, even when you're facing death, you're not scared. When you're in the center of God's will, God is there with you. There is no fear. Stephen wasn't scared. Stephen was like, there's Jesus. I get to go home. I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I'm never going to be around evil anymore. This is going to be okay. Folks, we can't let fear run our lives. We have got to be able to step out in faith and use the life that God has given us and the talents He has given us to be able to make an eternal difference. And then we see him use this excuse, which I love. I've already served. Look, Elijah, haven't you heard? I already took care of the prophets. Didn't you hear that I put them in the cave? Man, I even like giving them bread and water. There's money going towards this. I've already done something. That means that I get don't have to do any more for a couple years. And God says, listen, there's no retirement when it comes to God's work. If you still have breath and you still have a spiritual gift and the Holy Spirit still lives in you, then God's still going to use you. And we have to be able to change our mentality where we say, listen, God, I am willing to go and do whatever you've called me to do. Many of us look and we use this spiritual, well, let me pray about it. And what that means is I'm going to wait a week and then tell you no. Let me tell you how you should respond. If God doesn't give you a clear no, then you should say yes. Because God wouldn't have touched somebody else's life who has been praying to come to you to be able to ask you to step up and serve. So unless God comes to you and makes it clear no, then you should just say, okay, I trust that that elder or that director of ministry or that staff person has been praying. And Elijah's been praying and he comes to Obadiah and says, listen, I need you to do this. Okay, I'll do it. Let me tell you what's wrong with the American church is that there's 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. Grace Baptist, we can't be that church. We've got to be a church where 100% of the people are doing 100% of the work. Everybody is stepping up and using their gift to be able to further the kingdom of God. Fourth, I want you to see is that he becomes obedient to the will of God. He comes and he gives in. And he says, okay, I will go and do it. And I love this. Notice, in verse 16, we get the record of the meeting. And it's only half a verse. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. And then the other part of the verse is Ahab went to meet Elijah. Here was this, all these other verses that were written about all this. And here was all this fear and all this drama. And you know what? God had already prepared Ahab. Obadiah just had to go and do it. But this is the neat thing. God's about to do something big. And, I don't know why God didn't do it different. Why didn't Ahab, or why didn't Elijah just go find Ahab? He had found him before. God could have done it that way, but he chose not to. He chose to work with Ahab, and there was just simple obedience. And we see that something amazing is about to happen as we continue in verse 18. I'd like to conclude today by looking at the blessings of surrender. And we see three things that come when we are willing to surrender to this type of faith and following God. The first thing I want you to see is providential confirmation. Obadiah must have wondered, God, why do you have me in this rock and hard place? God, why am I the servant of this evil king? Anybody ever wonder why you are where you are in life right now? Let me tell you, when we submit to God and we surrender, God will reveal that to us. And there's confirmation that we see providentially that God has a purpose for us in our difficult time. Secondly, we see that there was a providential plan. Again, God could have used Ahab or Elijah just to go to Ahab, but he comes here and he says, listen, this is my plan. I'm going to use you, Obadiah, and I'm going to work through you. And this is where God comes to us today and say, listen, God's got a plan and a purpose for each and every person here. And if you're here today and you are a member of Grace Baptist Church, then you should be able to say, this is why I'm here. This is how I'm using my gifts. This is my purpose. And if not, then you need to begin praying and saying, God, it's time for me to get into action and to be involved and to use what you have given me to be able to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And this is going to be the exciting thing when we step up and we use the gifts, because that is what God has called the church to be. He says when each person does what they're supposed to do, then God will cause great growth and amazing things to happen. So we each need to play our role. He has a plan. And then third, we see a providential victory. There's going to be a great victory that we're going to read about next, or the next time we come together in a couple weeks. Next week, Pastor George is going to preach his final sermon, and then we'll look in September 30th, we'll look at Mount Carmel and the great victory that is had there. But we come here and we see that, listen, there was a critical role that Obadiah played that led to this victory. Obadiah, this is recorded in history to encourage us, to show us that God used someone else to set up this meeting so that this great victory could be had. And sometimes you're working behind the scenes and you're the greeter, and maybe you're just a drummer, or maybe you're just a Sunday school teacher for children. You go, man, is this making any difference? Let me tell you, yes, it is. God's doing great and awesome things, and if you weren't doing that, who knows what would have happened? What would have happened if Obadiah didn't do it? I don't know. But we do see examples in the Bible when people didn't do what they were supposed to do, and it caused big problems. Remember Adam and Eve? Don't eat from that tree. Uh-oh, guess what they did? Ate from the tree, and what happens? Everything gets messed up. Remember the story about Moses? Moses, listen, go and free the people of Israel. He was just like Obadiah. He came up with more excuses than Obadiah. But finally he went. And as he was going down to Egypt, the Bible says that God was coming after Moses to kill him. And he was going to kill him because Moses was not obedient in circumcising his sons. He was disobedient, and God did not want to have a disobedient person who would lead their people out of Israel. And his wife stepped up and circumcised him, and then God forgave him and continued to use Moses. Now, God was still going to free Israel. But you know what? God was able to free Israel without using Moses. When we ask the question, who freed Israel? A lot of people say, Moses did. Moses didn't. God did. The question today is not God still going to reach Bakersfield? The answer is going to be yes. The question is he going to use you and Grace Baptist Church? Are we going to step up and allow God to use us to be the blessing? What about Israel when they were going into the promised land and they said, no, man, they had to wait 40 years. Folks, time is running out. We don't have time to wait anymore. It is time to step up. It is time to say, everybody's in. Let's go do this. Let's go reach people for Jesus. Amen? It's time. We see a great example of this in 1 Samuel chapter 13 when we look at Saul. Notice Samuel comes to Saul, King Saul, and he says, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. Oh, Saul, you could have been the one. It could have been through you that the Messiah would have come. It could have been of you that all this was written about. It could have been. But you didn't obey. So he says now in verse 14, but you now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Even the disciples had times of doubt. Notice in Mark 4:40, when Jesus is out there on the sea and the storms come, and it says, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Folks, the question today is, are we willing to rise up and just be people like Obadiah who can say, listen, I'm just an ordinary person and I find myself many times in difficult situations, but even so, I believe that God used me and worked through me to be able to do extraordinary things. Do we believe today God can take this ordinary group of people? There's nothing really that special about us, to be honest. Look at us. But I'll tell you this. God has brought us together and he's given us his word and he's given us his spirit. And I'll tell you this, if we will just be simply obedient in simple things, coming to pray together, coming to study his word together, fellowshipping together, going and doing ministry together, serving as greeters, serving as Sunday school teachers, stepping up and getting involved in youth ministry. If we will just sacrifice our time and our talent and our treasure and simply do the simple things, then there's going to be a Mount Carmel one day. And we're going to step back and we're going to see fire come down from heaven and go, wow, God did that. How did that happen? Because there was an Obadiah that was faithful. Today, will you step up and allow God to use you? Let's pray.